Hello and welcome to another episode of the Side by Side ATC podcast. I'm your host Tom Haynes, and this week the question that I want to look at is kind of a combination of a couple of questions that I've already gone over, but it's been a while and it's a kind of a different angle to look at it. In the past, I've talked about, you know, why become an air traffic controller. And this week, I want to talk about, should I try to become an air traffic controller? Because there are some people who decide at some point in their career that they're just not cut out to be an air traffic controller. Now, my opinion is that if you want it bad enough or badly enough, anybody can become an air traffic controller. But not everyone should. And it really comes down to what kind of life do you want for yourself long term? What kind of life do you want for your family long term? Because I have worked with people. I have seen students at the academy who get totally stressed out. And at the academy, it would be happening before they even got into the non-radar evals. And, you know, some people, that's just the way they are. And they can overcome a lot of that. But there are some people that the stress that comes with being an air traffic controller is too much for them. I will say, during my career, there were a couple of times when I wasn't sure if that stress was going to be too much for me. But thankfully, I decided that it wasn't. And I decided to work through those times. And, you know, a couple of them were very difficult, trying times, both physically and emotionally. And they were difficult for my family to go through. Fortunately, my daughters were fairly young at the time. But my wife remembers that well. And it is a question that you should be asking yourself before you get into the whole process of becoming a controller. And then ask yourself, continue to ask it, just every so often. Because, like I said, there are some people the job doesn't really fit their strengths. And yes, we do want to push ourselves. We want to push the boundaries of what our strengths are. And at times we can turn weaknesses into strengths. But for the most part, we want to look at what our strengths are and find something that we can do that takes advantage of what we are already good at. And so when I get asked, should I become an air traffic controller? One of the questions that I want to ask in return before we really, you know, even get started talking is, why do you want to be an air traffic controller? And then I believe that there are questions that you should ask yourself. And just a few of those are, do I like a fast-paced working environment? And if you're looking to go into the en route environment, it's going to be fast-paced. The work, the airplanes, they keep coming. They don't stop. You can't hope that there's a storm that's going to come over the airport, because it just makes your job all that much tougher in the center. So you have to ask, do you enjoy that kind of working environment? If you can answer yes to that, then go on to question two. And it's kind of like these flow charts that you see. If you answer no to that, then you should probably think about maybe doing something else. Or if you really, really want to be an air traffic controller, we'll talk about some options. Okay. But as far as en route, sorry, it's going to be fast-paced. It's going to be stressful. There are going to be a lot of airplanes in those sectors. They can't divvy the airspace up so much that no one has a bunch of airplanes. You're going to have a bunch of airplanes in your sector at some point. It's just life in the center. But if you do like that fast pace, then go on to the next question. Can I think on my feet quickly? Can I adapt to the situation? Because air traffic control is never the same thing twice. It never, ever is. And I've said it many times on this podcast. You may have the same airplanes, the same call signs. They're different pilots. They're in a different order. The wind is different. They're at different altitudes. They're going different speeds. There are so many different variables that are going to change every time you work. And so it's never the same thing twice. And one of the best tools that you will have in your air traffic controller tool belt, so to speak, is the ability to think quickly. The ability to adapt quickly. The ability to take what you know the rules are and work as quickly as you can within those rules. And sometimes when we're thinking quickly, when we're adapting and we're trying to figure out a traffic situation, sometimes we make the wrong decision. And I would continuously tell my students at the academy, and even the students that I work with now, I tell them, the FAA does not expect you to be perfect. Stop trying to be perfect. They do not expect you to be perfect, because no one is. What they do expect is that you'll be able to adapt. And if you happen to make a wrong decision and paint yourself into a corner, the real skill of being an air traffic controller is being able to paint yourself back out of the corner. That's the skill that you have to develop. Now, as far as the academy goes, the FAA still does not expect you to be perfect. So if you do make a mistake, try to correct it. If you can, without digging the hole deeper. And sometimes that's not always easy to know. Should I try and do something or should I not? Okay. So one instance, you may have two airplanes flashing on the radar. Well, at that point, you have already gotten a separation error. For whatever reason that happened. Do not try to solve it at that point. The solution at that point is to look at the R side and say, can you separate those two? That's the solution. Because if you try and tell the R side, hey, climb that guy or descend that guy to this altitude, you're probably looking at a situation where you're about to get another separation error. Okay? Now, on the other hand, another thing that happens is a missed point out, a late point out. That's one where it's kind of the opposite. If you see that you're late making a point out, go ahead and make the point out. Go ahead and make the point out. Let the evaluator know that you saw your error and you're going to own up to it. And you're going to continue to do your job even after you make a mistake. Very, very important. And may actually lead to that evaluator not even writing up that error. It is an error. It's an airspace separation error. But sometimes evaluators won't write it up. Now, if they're being watched by another person, then yes, they're going to write it up every time. But sometimes, on their own, they may not. Okay? So, the FAA doesn't expect you to be perfect. They expect you to be able to adapt. They're going to give you situations, and, you know, you run 40-plus scenarios in the radar lab in practice. There's only so much they can show you, and even in those, you know, 40-plus scenarios, they can't show you what it's going to look like in every possible situation. They're going to try to show you enough so that you can adapt and see the situation. It may be coming in a different direction than what you're used to. But you're able to recognize, oh, this is what I need to do. Okay? Adaptability. Thinking quickly. In the middle of your plan, changing your plan. You'll have to. It's a fact of life as an air traffic controller. I don't care if you're working in a tower, if you're working in the center, working in TRACON. You could have a perfect plan, and all of a sudden something happens, and you're like, oops. Okay, now I'm at plan G. Plan A through F hasn't worked. I'm at plan G. And you better have a plan G. And so you have to ask yourself, is that something that I enjoy doing? And is that a strength? Or is it something that I can make into a strength? Because sometimes It's not. It's not a strength. And it's really not something that you're going to have an opportunity to turn into a strength. Sometimes it just is that way. Okay? It's nothing against you as a person. It's just the fact of life. You know, there are a lot of jobs that I couldn't do. And I consider myself fairly adaptable. And I enjoy doing a lot of different things. And there are some things that I wish I was really good at, but I'm not. And I've tried a bunch of things. And I have found things that I'm not that good at, even though I'd like to be. My dad was a woodcarver. I would love to be able to just sit with a block of wood and turn it into whatever I saw in my head. But that's not me. That was him. It was an amazing gift that he had. But that's not me. He, on the other hand, would not have made a very good controller. It's just the way we are. People are different. Okay? So, can you think on your feet? Next question is, can I make decisions quickly? Or do I want to have every possible option in front of me listed before I make a decision? Okay? Because being an air traffic controller means taking in a lot of information all the time and making decisions. And like I just went over, it doesn't always have to be the right decision. But when you're an air traffic controller, it needs to be right 90 plus percent of the time. As a controller, I don't have to be right 100% of the time. I have to know how to get myself out of those times when I was wrong. And I have to figure out what the next plan is. Okay? But even in those instances, I can make decisions quickly. And that's key. That's key. So when you're at the academy, if you're at the academy right now, if you're going through the non-radar lab, the radar lab, make a decision. It's practice. That's when you're supposed to make wrong decisions. In practice, so that when it comes game time, when it comes on those eval days, you don't have to make those poor decisions. And you will have practiced making decisions quickly. And the more decisions you make quickly, the better you're going to be and get at making the right decision quickly. Okay? That's why it's a question you need to ask. Can I make decisions quickly? Because air traffic control, it's a quick game. It's a quick game. It's not really a game, but things happen quickly. You have to be able to make decisions quickly. Okay? So those are just three of the questions that I would ask myself. You can get into other questions like, do I like solving puzzles? do I like puzzles that are different every day? Because air traffic control, it is a 3D, sometimes four-dimensional, if you include time in there, it's a four-dimensional problem that you have to solve all the time. If you enjoy that, then maybe being an air traffic controller is for you. If that's not your personality, here again, it's not saying anything about you as a person. It's just saying that maybe being an air traffic controller isn't for you. Or maybe being a center controller is not for you. And maybe you need to look at some of the options that are out there for becoming a tower controller. There's nothing wrong with that. There literally is nothing wrong with that. Now, if you go through all these questions and you decide, Tom, I've asked myself several times, I've even asked some of those people around me, and they think that those are strengths that I have. Well, then, here we go. Make the decision. Make it quick. Apply. See which direction you want to go. Do you want to go into the FAA? Do you want to go to the academy? Do you want to go to a CTI school that'll give you a CTO, a control tower operator card? And then the FAA will hire you without you having to go to the academy. Ha 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 ha. There's an option that a lot of people would like to take, is just do away with going to the academy as an option for me. There are a lot of people that would enjoy that. I met a lot of them when I was working in advanced ATC. There were a lot of students there who had heard horror stories about the academy. The problem is, the horror stories they were hearing were coming from people who had failed the academy. And even as low as the pass rate is right now, 60 to 70% between en route and tower, that's still more than half the students are actually passing. Whereas when I went through, the pass rate was 40%. Over half the students were not passing. Okay. But I get it. The academy is the academy. There's a lot of stress. And not everybody can deal with that stress and can deal with the amount of information that you're given and what you have to regurgitate out by showing that you understand it, not on a test, but in actual real-world situations. It's not easy to do that in 12 weeks. It's not easy at all. It can be done, but it is not easy. But there are other ways to become an air traffic controller. The CTI programs used to prepare the students to go to the academy. The only problem with some of those, and it's not the school's fault, but sometimes it was 4 or 5 years between when the student finished the program and when they went to the academy. And you can forget a lot of things in 4 to 5 years. The fortunate ones would finish their CTI program and then almost immediately go to the academy. And for the most part, they did very well. And there are some CTI programs that prepared their students very well. And if you want my opinion on some of them, just email me, TomHaynes@SideBySideATC.com. I'll give you my personal opinion of several of the programs. Now you have the enhanced CTI programs, ones that I know of, and I know they're being added to. There's Tulsa Community College, University of Oklahoma, and I know there are at least two more, but I can't remember the names of them right offhand. And from everything I've heard, both those programs are great programs. I know Tulsa is a two-year program. I don't know about Oklahoma. It may be a two-year program, maybe a four-year program, maybe a four-year degree program. Okay? And so you have to look at, you know, how old am I? Do I want a two- or four-year program? Okay? And then you have schools that are popping up, private schools that are popping up. There's one in Florida that is just coming online. I'm the last I heard, they were still having some issues getting certified and getting started. And then in Georgia, there is Advanced ATC that is one of the first programs approved by the FAA, and they're still working on finalizing all of the course material that's going to be required. But you will be able to get a CTO and go straight into working at a federal contract tower instead of having to wait three to six months after you get your CTO and be working in order to then be able to hire on at a federal contract tower. And then once you're in a federal contract tower and you're there for a year, then you can put in for what's called the experience bid that the FAA has and actually get straight into an FAA tower. I know several people from Advanced ATC that have done that and are in FAA towers and doing well. It is an option. And then another thing to consider with all these options is the age limit. You have to, start the application process by your 31st birthday to go to the academy with the FAA. Now, you can, as far as I know, the enhanced CTI programs are going to have that same requirement. You have to finish by your 31st birthday. They may, since they're really short-staffed nationwide, they may allow you to start the program by your 31st birthday. I had several, probably up to a dozen over 5 years. I had about a dozen students who were in their mid-30s, 34, 35 years old, going through the academy. They had started the process before their 31st birthday, and it took that long for them to get to the academy. So, and I will say this, mid-30s, trying to learn how to work in a center, it's tough. It's tough. I would try and get into the center before that, before I started getting into my mid-30s. But there's another option. Like I said, you can go to some place like Advanced ATC, get a CTO, work at a federal contract tower, and then after a year, apply for the experience bid and try and get into the FAA. The age limit on the last experience bid that I looked at, which was just about a month ago, was 35, not 31. So if you find yourself about 31 years old trying to figure out how can I become an air traffic controller, well, you can always look at Advanced ATC. You might be able to look at one of the enhanced CTI programs. Like I said, I don't know for sure. But it's worth checking out. It's worth calling someone in the FAA and finding out for sure. Okay? So, there are options. There are options in case being a center controller is not for you. And believe me, it's not for everyone. Now, I still believe, and I will always believe, that with the right mindset and it being your goal, that you can become an air traffic controller. I think one thing that hampers students at the academy is they don't realize just what they've signed up for. They don't realize the commitment of their time, the commitment of their energy, the commitment of their life for those 12 weeks in the en route program. That's why, one reason why I do this podcast is to prepare you, get you ready to go there, to go to Oklahoma City and be there on day one, and realize that you're going to have about 4 weeks of basics after you get to Oklahoma City. You're going to have a test that you have to pass at the end of basics. And then the fun really starts. Because if you're doing the en route program, day one, you start talking about the map. That's a big reason why I suggest you start looking at the map before you ever get to Oklahoma City. Because on day one, they start the fire hose of information aimed at you. And if you're not prepared for it, it's going to be incredibly difficult to keep up. But if you are prepared for it, if you have taken some of the steps that I've talked about, and you've done that before you ever drive into Oklahoma City or fly into Oklahoma City, or heck, maybe you just walked in. But if you have prepared yourself for what's coming, you have a chance. And I think that's one reason why CTI students did so well at the academy, because they had an idea of just what was coming. And they, by knowing that, they were able to deal with it. Because I will tell you, as an instructor, as an A-lead, as a lead instructor, it is amazing to me that students pass at all, because there's just a huge stack of information, and there's a certain amount of time the FAA gives you to go over it. And it's usually a pretty good amount of class time to go over it. There's only one problem. There's not a whole lot of time for questions and answers. There's not a whole lot of time for going back over it. If you didn't quite get it, it's pretty much a one shot. You have to get it, and that's it. And that's not easy. So you have to have the right personality. That helps. You don't have to, but it helps that these things are your strengths. These questions I talked about. You don't have to have that. You don't have to answer yes to every question. But if you don't, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be even more difficult for you. But even if you answer yes to all these questions, it doesn't mean, oh, good, I answered yes, Tom, I'm going to be a controller. You still got to do it. You still got to get through either the academy or one of the schools and get through training. And that's not easy. I can testify to that. I trained at three facilities in the FAA. I trained as an instructor. Had to go through training as an instructor at the academy. I went through training at Advanced ATC to work the tower there. And I went through training where I am now with a federal contract tower in Dallas. I have been through training. And I can tell you, I hate to train. I hate training. I hate being a trainee. I still do. It's not what I enjoy. Now, I do enjoy helping other people by training them. I do enjoy that. So, sum it all up. Should you be an air traffic, should you try to be an air traffic controller? You're the only one that can answer that. Well, you might be the only one that can answer that. You might have someone close to you who may be able to answer that question for you even better than you can. I know that's what happened for me. My wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, knew me well enough to tell me that she thought I would be good at it. And that changed everything. I told her about it kind of as a lark, as a joke. And then she turned around and said she thought I'd be good at it. And that was almost 40 years ago, and a wonderful career, not always the easiest career, but a wonderful career, and I would never give that back or change it. So ask those people around you, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. This is what's required. This is what this strange guy on this podcast says I need to be good at. Do you think that that is me? Do you think that those are my strengths? You might be surprised. You just might be surprised. And as always, if you need to talk about it or want to talk about it, I'm here. I'm here. More than happy to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Shoot me an email. We'll set up a call and we'll talk. We'll see what happens after that. No cost. No, you know, I'm not going to try and sell you because that's just not my personality. I was never a really good salesman. But if you have any questions, email me. Love to answer questions if I can via email. If you want to set up a phone call, we'll set up a phone call. And then after that, no matter what you decide to do, let me know. Let me know. I love to follow the people that I've been working with. I want to know how things turn out. Okay, so should you try to become an air traffic controller? Yes? No? Maybe so? But ask some questions. And if you have other questions, hey, that's what I'm here for. That's what I love doing. And so, thank you again so much for listening. Coming up on a year since the first podcast. Wow. Coming up on 5,000 downloads. Over 100 followers. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for your continued support. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. And again, no matter where you are on this amazing journey that is becoming an air traffic controller, don't ever try and do it alone. Have someone going through it with you, helping you, no matter what it is, no matter who it is. And if you need someone like that, let me know. That's why it's called Side by Side ATC. One of the reasons. I'll be here, more than happy to walk through it with you, side by side. Till next week. Bye.